All right. Thank you, all of you, for coming here today. I'm going to talk about our experiences and our surveys going on with the Interagency Coordination of State and Federal Newborn Hearing Screening Programs. And I have no relationships to disclose, which always kind of sounds a little sad. Eddie, if you don't know anything about it, has been a strong model of collaboration across federal and state agencies. And as a little background, every year in the United States, about 12,000 babies are born deaf or hard of hearing. And soon after birth, each of these babies receives universal newborn hearing screening, which is in the first step of diagnosing these children. The screening is one part of the Early Hearing Detection and Intervention Program, also known as EDI, and is the state and territorial program that's dedicated to help infants and children with hearing loss receive the proper assistance they need to help delays in speech, language, social skills, and academic achievement. The screening identifies the hearing loss. The child is then sent for an audiologic evaluation, and then to confirm what the extent of the loss is. And then the EDI works with the family to identify proper treatment, potential for medical treatment or other interventions, offers family support and other early intervention services. Like I said previously, EDI has a very strong reputation among key federal stakeholders for being a model example of collaboration between federal agencies, which in turn fosters wonderful collaboration across state agencies and local and regional organizations. The EDI program appears to stand out in a lot of other ways where federal programs tend to appear to be in silos and operate kind of very apart from one another. We wanted to conduct a case study that found out how other federal collaborations can replicate many of the successes that EDI has seen. Excuse me. The project conducted qualitative interviews using a snowball sampling technique to identify representatives of the federal, non-governmental, nonprofit, and state partners within the EDI program. Evaluation staff initially contacted key stakeholders within the CDC and HRSA to obtain recommendations for the interview contacts, and then we identified further contacts as the interviews took place. Representatives from federal and national organizations were invited to participate in both the telephone and the online survey on interagency cooperation, and selected EDI state coordinators were also invited to participate in a phone interview. All state and territorial EDI and IDEA Part C coordinators were invited to participate in the online survey alone. Okay. For the online survey, 41 state EDI coordinators responded, as did representatives from seven federal organizations and several nonprofit non-governmental stakeholders. Project staff interviewed 34 representatives from 24 different organizations, and you can see some of the different organizations we interviewed on the screen. And most interviews lasted between 45 and 60 minutes. Okay. This graph illustrates state and national partners' beliefs about the potential benefits for participating in EDI and on their agency specifically. Positive beliefs about how the collaboration works are both in green and blue, with green being this positive thing has already happened, and blue being I expect this positive thing to happen. Red is the negative side of that, or I do not expect this to occur. As a reminder, 41 states and 14 national partners completed the survey with 100% results, so you'll see that over the course of the next slides. They're all 41 states and 14 national partners. Overall, stakeholders viewed the interagency collaboration as extremely successful, as you can see. The majority of stakeholders believe that their organizations had benefited from collaborating with EDI partners, and the majority of federal and non-governmental and state partners believed that they developed new and important relationships from this, and it really improved their public service to deaf and hard of hearing children and their families through this collaboration. Through the phone interviews, we received many comments that supported these efforts, our survey, with one of the respondents calling the collaboration a, quote, shining star, and another one saying, quote, to me, the EDI program is a huge success. It is almost unparalleled. We had other responses that were very similar. Here, I'm going to show a little bit about how they perceived any potential negative consequences from the participating in the survey. Here it's the opposite, so red and yellow are negative, with green being positive, red being this negative thing has already occurred, yellow being I expect this negative thing to occur, and green being this has not occurred. I'm happy to show that very few stakeholders felt that the collaboration had led to negative consequences for their agency, and the most commonly selected negative consequence was frustration in dealing with partners, but frankly that can just be a part of just dealing with a diverse group of stakeholders, and might actually point to how they were able to work out some of the things over time with a variety of different viewpoints. And so that might actually be still a positive, even though it was one of the more negatively focused things, although it wasn't extremely negative. The fact that no stakeholder thought that they would lose control over important decisions for their agency or that it strained relationships within their agency points to really how well that the collaboration runs within within the collaboration. Okay, this is a very confusing slide, but what is going on here? It's a visual representation of face-to-face contact among state EDI coordinators and federal and non-governmental agencies. The triangles represent states, squares NGOs, circles federal agencies, and the different sizes in each of those basically represent the bigger the shape, the more communication they have with other agencies. So the itty-bitty ones, not as much. Colorado, for example, at the top, a lot of collaboration going on. The lines represent state EDI programs that communicated with national agencies at least 7 times a year, so that's about bi-monthly. This frequent face-to-face contact was seen as a huge part of this effective communication. It also increased opportunities for relationship building, and it was seen that Hands and Voices, the National Hearing Assessment and Management Organization, or NCHAM, AAP, MCHB, and the American Speech Language Hearing Association, or ASHA, had the highest frequency here, and you can see that those ones are particularly big. The Colorado EDI program, which I already mentioned, is at the top, the biggest triangle, obviously reported by far the highest number of face-to-face contacts with national partners, by far the most among any state that we were able to talk to. State EDI programs overall were the most likely to meet face-to-face with more service-oriented organizations such as Hands and Voices, which is a speech and hearing organization, and NCHAM and AAP. The most successful elements of the collaboration were repeatedly mentioned by some of the interviewees. Many participants mentioned the sheer enthusiasm of many of the stakeholders and how it served as an inspiration to people to continue working together towards the end goal. And as you can see in the quote, there just was a great feeling of a common goal and common cause here. There's frequent and open communication was also identified as key elements for collaborative success. As I mentioned previously, those hallmarks include frequent meetings, continual discourse, information sharing, and attempts to involve all stakeholders. Bringing everyone together to share these viewpoints in conferences and meetings was key, particularly for families of deaf children who could share stories and help each other learn from one another about how to raise a child who is deaf and hard of hearing. Another aspect that made this collaboration successful was the specificity in which the goals and other objectives were described. The collaboration successfully produced common messages and shared goals through this effort, and it enabled the collaboration to focus on results as a group and elevate everybody's shared concerns rather than focusing on the needs of just one or two organizations. And so there was less of a feeling, there was a lot of comments about how there was no turfism. That came up at least twice during the interviews, that specific word. And so it was very strong to hear that from so many different people. And while developing shared goals around diverse stakeholder groups, as we saw, is also time-consuming and sometimes challenging, we saw that the success of everybody getting together and working through those differences kind of helped the success build and motivate them to work further better together. Another concept that was mentioned by stakeholders is the importance of leadership sharing. and within the key members of the collaboration. And the number of stakeholders specifically pointed to the perspectives from two specific people in CDC and HRSA. And from the state coordinator's perspective, it was seen as these two people were working within the same organization and not from two separate federal agencies. And that's how seamlessly these two work together, which is pretty impressive. Other stakeholders that were mentioned as particularly successful was NCHAM, who I mentioned before, that they worked very well with the CDC and HRSA, and that the agencies took a lot of leadership and were more than just funders to these state agencies. They took a vested interest, and they gave more technical assistance than their other project officers and such. And it was really seemed as they were lauded for their efforts in going above and beyond. The EDI collaboration is also seen as successfully including multiple stakeholders and groups very effectively. Each group has a specific role and purpose within the collaboration, and this interdependence is increased the necessity of everybody working together very well as a team. All the stakeholders were viewed as holding specific pieces of a puzzle, so to speak, and that included the family members, to the medical community, to statisticians and epidemiologists. And so it was really across the board that everybody had a specific place. Stakeholders were also asked to make what made their collaboration so successful and distinguished EDI from other collaborations that they had been in and other federal partnerships. And something that was very interesting that was commonly mentioned was the different personalities of all the people involved, which isn't something that's normally mentioned in how collaborations work. But they gave full credit to different participants and what they were doing. There was a talk about the importance of the role and people being specifically smart and dedicated and committed, who, despite agency constraints or things that were going on in their own families, were very dedicated to the cause of improving lives for children who were deaf and hard of hearing and their families. And that's what really made the collaboration, quote, shine, according to one of the representatives. Overall, stakeholders viewed the screening and the collaboration as extremely successful. However, some stakeholders did identify a variety of challenges that were common that were primarily in the realm of service delivery, and those were involvement of the Department of Education, data sharing among stakeholders, and representation of the deaf community. The most commonly cited challenge was the inclusion of the Department of Education, and this can be extrapolated to other areas of collaboration and just, you know, finding the one agency that just isn't as involved and what to do about it. And in this case, the Department of Education was seen as a very key player in service delivery, but was perceived as not being very involved in the meetings, in the planning, or in the general collaboration of EDI. And interviews with stakeholders, including one representative from the Department of Education, identified several reasons for this lack of participation, and those included lack of funding for early intervention services, which obviously would lead to low prioritization within the agency, a lack of clear goals for education within EDI, a lack of accountability for outcomes associated with EDI, and a lack of specialized services in general. And that can obviously be any agency that just doesn't have the funding isn't obviously going to make anything a priority. A second issue that was mentioned were the legal restrictions around sharing of data, especially with the U.S. Department of Education, due to laws that govern sharing of data, such as FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, and it was viewed as very limiting by many of the partners. These data sharing laws were perceived as barriers and to collaboration, because EDI involves medical screening data, involves possible medical services and educational services, and how each of those interact with one another, that there's a lot of confusion over how the various privacy laws apply to each of the exchange of data and how to get their screening results to talk to the people who are doing the educational side. A number of stakeholders actually believe that the misunderstandings in these data had little to do with the laws themselves and more with the perception of what the laws meant, and so that you actually could share some of the data, but people didn't know you could. And so it was very interesting to hear that. In addition, there was a request for more follow-up and consistent data reporting between states, And as anybody who works in a lot of these kinds of things, loss to follow-up is a huge problem in this country, especially with newborn hearing screening and newborn screening efforts. And it's something that they're aware of and would like to see changed. There were some examples of possible solutions. Some stakeholders believed that these have been developed and there might be a way to get around some of these privacy laws. And one of those was California had developed a memorandum of understanding between the Department of Education and other areas, and they were able to get around some of those data sharing problems locally. The last area that was perceived as a barrier towards collaboration was representation of the deaf community, which was an interesting one to hear since this is such a collaboration, and we expected not to hear any of this. However, about a third of stakeholders identified some form of lack of inclusion or cultural sensitivity towards the deaf community within the EDI collaboration, and respondents who believe the deaf of hard of hearing were not well represented in the EDI programs were primarily from non-governmental nonprofit organizations. However, two EDI state coordinators and one federal stakeholder also voiced these opinions. Timing and funding were commonly cited here as barriers to participation for the deaf community, and that also kind of mirrors some of the problems we saw at the Department of Education. And we think that this might have to do with the fact that most deaf family and stakeholders come from organizations with very limited budgets, and that they often use personal funding to participate in many of these activities. And you can only go to so many face-to-face meetings if you're paying for them yourself. And so there were many great components to the successful collaborations, but without good people who are passionate about the cause and what they do and why they're doing it, the road would be pretty bumpy to getting towards the end goal. And so creating and maintaining frequent opportunities for relationship building is pretty key here. And reaching out to stakeholders who are less involved and to build relationship may take time, but it pays off with dedicated people and they grow a connection to the cause. These stakeholders can include a range of people from service delivery to planning, and include community-based organizations, state agencies, and schools for the deaf, and family members. But ensuring meaningful participation among each of these people was key in planning efforts, because everybody felt that they were involved from the ground up, and they felt like part of the success as it moved forward. Maintaining frequent and transparent communication among partners had led to less conflict within this collaboration, and there were more opportunities for collaboration for everyone moving forward. And generally, there was a feeling that when partners had less feelings of hidden agendas, they were able to talk more honestly about challenges, their priorities, and what they hoped to accomplish, and that led to the successful collaboration. If you want more information about this study or to receive the final report, which we're still working on, but it's getting there, please contact me, Ellen Pliska, and you can see my contact information on the slides. I'd be happy to take any questions if anybody has any. Nope. Okay.
I got a question.
Oh, great.
So I think two of your findings I think are pretty important relate to perhaps holes in the current collaboration network, and that, as you mentioned, education sector and the deaf and hard of hearing community. And you also mentioned that perhaps in both those elements, one of the reasons why those sectors aren't strongly linked in may relate to funding. So I wonder. So what are some in the current environment of austerity, where there's not a lot of extra federal dollars flowing down, do you have some thoughts about strategies for engaging those two entities which are kind of marginal in the network currently? How do you get them more integrated into the system without new dollars?
That's a very good question. It's difficult, especially now with funding problems as they are, to involve people who need funding to get to places. However, I would hope that, especially with some of the findings that we found, it may be difficult in the case of the Department of Education, say, to get them more involved just on funding's sake. It seemed like there were some other issues involved, but I'm hoping that our findings here will open up some more funding and importance of including deaf stakeholders on committees. There was a hope that there would be, this only was from one of the participants, but they mentioned that they were the only deaf or hard of hearing person on a committee. And so, and it's a committee about newborn hearing screening. And so they felt that there should be more of a representation there, and that's something that we're looking into to see if there's something, if that's a theme that's overall or if that was just one person. And so we're hoping that some of this will open people's eyes that this is a very important part of the collaboration and some of that funding might follow. We, as part of this, we did have our paper reviewed by a woman who's an expert in inclusion theory and who is hard of hearing herself. And she's working with us to try to make the document itself more culturally competent and using the most appropriate language. And so I'm hoping that with us changing and doing that, and then with getting the word out, that some more opportunities are going to come out. But until the funding area picks up, it might be very difficult.
Any other questions?
All right. Well, thank you, everybody.